Welcome to episode 31 of Digital Outbox. Hello. It's part two of our review of our... Oh, I can't even see it. It is part two of our review of the year. And the gang's all here. Say hello, everybody.
Hello. Everybody.
Yay! So, we left off all of 3 minutes ago. And Henry's going to take us through July, August and September.
Yeah, that's right. Well, July, great year.
Great year,
great month even, I suppose. O2 announced
drinking
that,
again.
I wish. No, O2 had announced that they'd got the Palm Pre in the UK. Google Chrome OS was announced. Office 2010 with their online versions,
which are rubbish.
Apple decided that they were going to block the Palm Pre in iTunes.
Get out.
Quite right, too. Amazon decided that they'd delete the book 1984 from Kindles. What was that all about? Anyway, Google Voice app was blocked from the App Store.
Get out.
Yeah, get out. Micro-who? Yahoo gives up on search, and Microsoft had a sick ad.
Yeah, oh, I remember that one now.
What was that advert about? I cannot remember. I just remember it being horrifying.
It was a guy. It was for IE8 because it was talking about their privacy options in it, and because the husband hadn't used the privacy options.
Oh, that's why she was looking at what
he
was watching.
The wife went to viewed what he had seen, and she started being sick everywhere.
Failed.
Bitty.
Very poor. Very poor. Yeah. So then we're on to August when Google. They blinked first in the start of the search wars, and they came up with some new algorithms that they were testing, and they started some real-world adverts. And Toshiba finally gave up on their HD DVD and decided that they'd put all their efforts behind Blu-ray, so they pulled out of that. high def. So I feel sorry for anyone who bought an HD DVD, but...
Tom?
You can pick them up now for like 29p or something, can't you?
But why?
They're probably cheaper than the HD DVDs if you can find any of them.
Philips cheaper than a coaster.
Philips Laserdisc, anybody? Yeah, another one.
Do you know that finally finished production this year? Anyway.
Twitter adds geolocation to the API, and they've announced a project retweet.
Fantastic.
The first video advert was in print media.
And probably the last.
That was very clever. The FCC inquiry into Google Voice Apple ad rejection. There's the start of the three strike argument from Digital Britain. Microsoft Bing began teaming up on the search front with Wolfram Alpha integration announced. Well, they had to do something with Wolfram Alpha, didn't they? Wolfram Alpha weren't going to do anything on their own, but there we go. Spotify's on the iPhone. They launched their app. Eric Schmidt resigned. The Google
did
exec.
Did he resign or was he pushed?
Well, there we go. Did he jump or was he pushed? I don't
know. Nudged.
Yeah, we can
poked.
Speculate for the rest of the podcast, but we won't.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, Facebook bought FriendFeed, and the FriendFeed traffic has just died over the last.
I loved FriendFeed, and it's just kind of pointless now.
And there was the Microsoft Polish Photoshop palaver. Do you remember that? They changed the faces of people in some of their adverts.
Take out the black guy.
that's shocking.
Whiten them up.
Fail. They've had such a crap year for adverts, haven't they? Just utter fail.
They've always been rubbish.
Poor. Very poor. Yeah, so that brings us on to September, which great highlight, really, because Snow Leopard, the new version of Apple's OS X, was released.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Yeah, And Steve came back as the face of Apple at their event, which Woo-hoo! Was great. iTunes 9 was released with a new LP format. And
has been a success.
And a new Nano, which shoots video. but not very well.
Yeah, Chris, go on. Meh.
Meh.
That's a little less sheep-like than it was earlier on. That's quite good. Right. Other things happening in September that eBay announced that the sale of Skype.
I've got to thank Chris for keeping us up to date on eBay and Skype.
Endless updates. Yeah.
Endless.
Tell me that's been the best bit of the podcast.
Wrist-slittingly good. Jolt ID filed a suit against eBay for IP infringement on Skype, and that just ran and ran and ran, didn't it? But they did get it.
Unfortunately, I thought it was just there for 1 week and I just placate them. Every week.
Windows Mobile 6.5 was released when everybody really wants Windows Mobile 7, and that's not coming out till way into next year or the year after. Never mind. T-Mobile announced a merger with Orange. Has that gone any further?
Yeah, T-Orange has been launched.
T-Orange.
Have you got T-Orange?
Never mind. The iPlayer was added to the PS3. And
way.
Yeah.
Not for the Xbox.
And not for the Xbox.
Oh, give it up, man.
The Zune HD was released stateside, but it's not coming to Europe. Oh, dear. Fools. Mind you, I don't know. Who would want to buy one of them anyway?
Put a phone in it. I think we said we would. Oh, I said I would.
Yeah, Chris said he would buy it. If a phone appears in it, he's going to buy one. Actual words.
All right. Okay, with Windows Mobile 6.5.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck. The PS3 Slim was released, and the Wall Street Journal began charging for content. Microsoft announced their own App Store, but they've got a lot of catching up to do because the Apple App Store announced in September that they'd topped 2 billion downloads.
2 billion downloads.
Billion. Can you remember what the Microsoft App Store is called? Because I know they named it something, didn't they?
CAC.
Get your CAC here.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't remember. I did look it up. But,
no problem.
Yeah, I can't remember. Sorry. It was such a big news at the time, and it's gone straight. Yeah, it's the Microsoft App Store anyway. They also opened up their online suite of Office apps to early testers.
Meh.
Yeah. And Google SideWiki, they're taking over the commenting now. And
not really.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, because that's popular, wasn't it?
Yeah, very popular. And of course, Chris had his Windows 7 launch party, didn't you, Chris?
And I followed the adverts to the letter.
Hey, let's have a party.
So, yeah. That was the third quarter of the year.
Fantastic.
I suppose it's just a couple of things really to kind of pick up on. The whole thing with the App Store, the Apple App Store, really quite a fiasco with I suppose that's what happens when you've got the walled garden.
Well, that was everybody's fear, wasn't it? And it's turned out to be true.
Yeah, and you can't really expect a leopard to change its spots or a snow leopard to change its spots.
Oh,
very smooth.
But I mean, that's just Apple, isn't it? They're just really very secretive and they like to keep things close to the chest. Whether it's good for them or not, that's just the way they do things. But you really feel that some of these things could have been handled much, much better. Yep.
But this was the quarter that we actually saw. It was the Google Voice app specifically, wasn't it, that was got banned from the App Store. And then there were all sorts of accusations and counter-accusations about why it was rejected and had it actually been rejected and all those kind of things. And it even got to an FCC inquiry at one point.
Yeah, and I don't even understand why Google Voice was as an app was even there in the first place when Apple had already said that we're not doing any voice over IP, that's all going to get banned. So it does seem to be like a case of the little guy gets, he can't do it, but if Google come along or Skype or anybody else who's a big player, then they'll bend the rules for them. And, you know, that's what you sign up for when you buy an iPhone. And
Yeah. But the thing I didn't like about that was already two Google voice apps, unofficial apps, in the App Store at the time. And only when the Google one was rejected did they then remove those apps, which I just thought was total double standards.
Yeah.
And fair play to the guy behind one of the apps who then says, fine, jailbreak your iPhone, you can still use my app. and he put it up in the jailbroken app store.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what is happening though with Apple and the App Store, and we've seen some big people, big players, actually stop developing for the iPhone because they just say, look, we can't deal with Apple not being very clear on what's going to get rejected and what's not. And if you've put a huge amount of effort into developing an app, only for Apple to turn around for some spurious reason and tell you that it doesn't meet their standards for whatever reason that they could just make up or not give you any reason at all, it's a bit painful.
And I remember that's what we're talking about at the time. You know, so at the moment, you know, obviously they were blocking these Google Voice ones. What happens if Apple had actually bought Twitter through the year? Would they have turned around and said to every other app, you know, Twitter developer, sorry, every client's off the App Store? Mm-hmm. You need to use the official Apple Twitter client. Which I doubt would have happened, but you just don't know. You just don't know.
You just don't know. Just don't know.
I guess the other thing, I mean, certainly for three of us, I can't speak about the Windows lover amongst us, but Snow Leopard was the big OS release for Apple users this year.
Yep.
It was quite something that there was so much really about nothing really.
Indeed.
And actually, even when they announced that they were bringing out Snow Leopard, and they made a big thing about actually, you'll not notice any difference at all. They've just made it kind of 64-bit and helped out developers quite a bit. But there's not much change. And huge applause, which is quite something for an OS release.
I think that's your typical sort of blind adulation that Apple get from, you know, their fan base, I guess, which, you know, Chris quite rightly sometimes points out to us that you'll buy anything that Apple releases. But I still think, I thought it was a good enough release mainly because of the cheap price, I guess, and fixed a few bugs and speeded up a few of the apps. I know it caused headaches for quite a few people because some of the third-party apps stopped working. But overall, I mean, I'm assuming everybody managed to reclaim some of their disk space as well by upgrading.
Yeah.
And I certainly noticed the speed differences. And I was just going to say, for £25, I think it was maybe not an essential upgrade, but if you're, you know, like into your gadgets and tech and, you know, you like to keep up to date, then £25 wasn't a huge investment.
No, definitely not.
To upgrade.
And the only thing I was going to point out was that if I look at Vista and how it tried to bring in 64-bit and how there was no drivers and there was all the hardware issues and I know it's a different, you know, that they've got to support a massive market compared to what Apple's supporting.
Yeah.
But they're moving their, if I look at, I guess, Apple since I've been using it, you know, they've moved from the PowerPCs to Intel fairly smoothly, still supporting PowerPC for a number of years, and they're now moving their community from 32 to 64-bit, again, looks fairly smoothly.
Yeah.
You know, if I look at the issues kicking around, nothing of much consequence.
And all we really have to say about Microsoft is Vista, when they did the same kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, so it's a really cheap upgrade that on the face of it didn't do too much, but I think it's now moved the community onto a really strong underpinning for future operating system upgrades.
Yep.
I'll take my rose-tinted glasses back off so that Chris can come in and slag me off.
No, I'm no slagging going on here.
He's fallen asleep for the last 5 minutes, hasn't he? He was just switched off.
You take your choice
completely.
With Apple, don't you? It's you have to put up with their control of every single aspect of it. So it's, you know, but the benefits of that are that they can roll these kind of things out with relatively little, you know, problem. Say when Microsoft does it, they have to do their half of the bargain, but actually it's up to the hardware manufacturers to do their part as well. And they've been quite slow to do that sometimes.
Well, I still, for me, it's the same with the iPhone, and it's the same with the computers I've bought now. It's taking away a lot of pain that I used to have to go through. Just a whole lot of stuff that I don't need to maintain and worry anymore. And even just using the phone, it's just download an app, it works, crack on.
Yep.
Anyway, Tech Gadget of the Year.
Tell us,
Chris.
Oh, Chris.
So this year, I of my purchases, I absolutely love my Nikon D90, and yay, it's definitely my favourite purchase. I'm I've never been into photography before, so it's just opened up this whole new world of, you know, just learning and discovery and all those kind of things. So I've really enjoyed it.
It's an expensive world, though, isn't it?
It's the money pit. I mean, I've probably spent already, you know, another 800 quid on lenses, and there's a good, you know, £1,000 more to be spent before I've, you know, got my set I want. So it, yeah, definitely a money pit, but it is great and it's good fun. And I'm really glad I got it. From the tech point of view, I think Spotify was, you know, for me was the tech of the year. I think it's changed the market. It's not just a standard release. I think it's done something more than that.
Fantastic. Henry.
Yeah, well, of my purchases this year, definitely the Freecom Music Pal, which is a cheap internet radio and music streaming device, and it's now my alarm clock. And and I just love it. It's great. Just a little, it works really pretty well. It will does its own updates over the air quite nicely. Just a little Wi-Fi connection there, really great. I think in the terms of tech, I have to say that I think that Microsoft have done a pretty good job with Windows 7. And when I had practically no expectations at all of them pulling anything off after how horrible Vista is, then I'm quite surprised. A bit disappointed, truth be told, but Windows 7 has to be my tech pick of the year, I think.
Fantastic. I'll crack on with mine. I've had a year of very little gadget purchases, which is
shock horror.
It's I'm disappointed in myself. I've let down everybody that usually buys my old stuff as well. Yeah. So the one that I guess I did buy and I'm really happy with is my iPhone 3GS. So that is my purchase of the year, and it's just, I get so much out of it.
You know, and it was worth that money
for me, yeah.
For the getting out of your contract.
I've got to say that because yeah. I forgot to say that. If I don't, I'll cry. I just use it so much. You know, so even if I do some daft twatty calculation about startup times and waiting for things to launch and how much my time is worth, I'm pretty sure I can justify my expense. Clutching at straws.
But if that's what, you know, how it feels, but to own one, then that's,
you know, from it's given me the one device. I'm doing all my GPS on it when I need to. I'm wishing Shaggy would put the pen down and not rattle it. And but even, like, you know, from hill walking to taking quick snaps to checking on Twitter to doing all my so much. There's just so much that I have to say that's my gadget of the year. And tech wise, I think I'm kind of torn. I think it should probably be Spotify, but I'm going to go with Twitter because it's become, again, it's just becoming such a go to place for a number of different things.
It's definitely integrated itself into a lot of stuff we do now, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, every media company, every brand out there, it's all about Twitter. So I will go for Twitter as my tech of the year. Shaquille.
Well, like yourself, it's been a disappointing year for me as far as buying gadgets goes. The only thing I can remember buying this year were my Denon HD5000 headphones, which are absolutely amazing. I mean, you will not believe the sound that comes out of these headphones.
I want to hear these next week.
And yeah, I mean, they are, you know, like, you think, okay, how much would you pay for a set of headphones maximum? When you know, I don't know, everybody's got their own price, but
50 quid.
Yeah, so, you know, you'd sort of pay that. I mean, before my Denons, I had I had two headphones. I had the Denon A100, which was like a lower spec model than the ones I bought, and also had the Shure in the ear canal phones, which were quite expensive. I mean, they cost me, I think at the time, about maybe £200, maybe more.
Wow. So how much were these denims?
I'll come to that.
I'm looking anyway, them up so now. I, my eyes are watering.
So I got rid of my Shure earphones on eBay, and I sold my old denims to a colleague at work. And I'm telling you, when I ordered these, I was like really crapping myself. I thought, I've just made a huge mistake spending this much money. And I was so nervous when they arrived, because when I opened the box up, I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to... You know, like, you have this fear, whoa, don't you?
I've just found a price.
you think I'm not going to hear much difference over my old ones. But as soon as I put them in the difference was, like, immediately clear. It's just like, you know, listening to music on, like, a set of really expensive speakers, not headphones.
But surely when you're listening to so much compressed music, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, my music is quite high quality, actually. So,
Would you describe yourself as an audiophile? Or, you know, or just a general hi-fi file? I mean, is that fair to say? Or do you just think everyone would notice it?
I think everybody would notice it. And if you didn't, then, you know, you've probably got wax in your ears.
So
Ian won't notice any difference. So anyway, that's my gadget of the year.
But
so
how much was it?
Just going back to price, which you kind of neatly glided over.
To be honest with you, I can't remember the exact price.
So I found a price just now, which is £530.
No, I got them less than that.
All right, £490? Yeah, that sounds about right. So, okay, so you've spent £490 a set of headphones that you use how often?
Oh,
every day.
Oh, okay. It's just...
But then you probably spent how much on your new iPhone 3GS, which you could have just used your old one?
That's what I was just trying to weigh up, because I was getting slagged off for my expense in the iPhone.
You didn't tell us how much you spent on your iPhone 3GS.
Oh, it was £540.
So it's £540 for a bit of a speed increase and for a video. So I guess it's horses for courses, isn't it? It's what you put the value on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could have got a set of headphones with some wood. Or instead I got a futuristic, fantastic...
Oh, hang on, I found the price. I paid £420 for them. So there you go.
Ooh.
Excellent price. Yeah, they're sort of got a wooden enclosure. And, you know, very, very comfortable as well, I must say.
So your gadget of the year is wood.
Yeah, I've got wood. And my tech of the year...
I want a soundproof room for that much. Sorry, Sean, carry on.
My tech of the year was going to be Twitter, but as Ian's already picked that, I guess I can maybe go for Facebook. I know not everybody likes it. I use it quite a lot, despite the fact that I'm not that keen on it. But it's my colleagues and other friends that use it that are constantly surprising me. I mean, some of them just spend their entire days on it. So it's just unbelievable the amount of Facebook that some people use.
And
I think that they've also, you know, they had like a sort of an interface overhaul not so long ago as well. And I think that's helped it to, you know, just make it a bit easier to use.
But it's things like Farmville, which I'm just not going to go and play, but it gets more hits than Twitter. You know, so a game within Facebook generates more traffic than the whole of Twitter, which is, you know, it's just phenomenal.
Well, another thing that Facebook is quite good for, and I don't know how many people use it, but you know, some of these games on the iPhone, they're now linked to, as well as Twitter, they're linked to Facebook. And like that game you just mentioned, that, you know, that Who's Got the Biggest Brain? You get that on Facebook as well. So it's quite nice that some people who don't have an iPhone can play that game via the web and still, like, you know, compete with you on the same sort of leaderboard.
Yeah, I must confess that I did lose quite a lot of time this year to Mafia Wars. So, and it is rubbish. It is rubbish.
But I mean, if I turn around and look at, you know, we're talking about Forza 3 and how I fell away with it, but I was still sitting and play Cannibal, which is a 59p game, and getting more joy out of it. But I'm equating it to, like, you know, who's got the biggest brain? I mean, me and you ended up competing for quite a while. Because I played it and set a score.
Yeah.
And then
I spent ages trying to beat it.
It was like months later that you were like, yeah, go and beat it. And then I think we had a bit of a kind of 2 or 3 weeks, and then you just shot ahead. And I got busy. doing more important things.
Meow.
Sounds like the loser to me.
takes one to know one. Anyway, let's move on. I'll rattle through October, November, December. So, Google Wave finally got released after being talked and hyped about for months, and we saw the invites for sale on eBay, which, now that we've used it, is quite incredible. US released its Tight Grip and ICANN. Internet overtakes TV as the biggest advertising sector in the UK, which still doesn't compute for me. MS released Security Essentials and ruffled some big feathers in the process. I have no idea what that is, but obviously
Security Essentials was the antivirus software that anyway, was for free.
And it's very good, I must admit.
Yeah, I'm sure it isn't. O2 exclusivity ended on the iPhone, which kind of tied up with them losing or gaining the Palm Pre. And I guess since then we've seen it on Orange, Vodafone's in the, I think it's 14th of Jan.
Yep.
And I think, who else we got? Tesco's got it, and also Three seemingly have it on their stock, but their computer for releasing, but they don't have a date for when it's actually coming out. So it's going to be everywhere next year. There was a discovery of more than 30,000 webmail account details online. Again, another security issue. Flash announced for all major mobile platforms apart from the iPhone. Fantastic. I don't want that battery sucking hog on my phone. Kindle was announced for the UK and Europe.
Hooray.
Finally.
Yes. Jan Moore, or Moore, or Moir, stirs up the wrath of the internet with her hateful and distasteful article in the Daily Fail. And again, you just saw the power of Twitter and Facebook, because the only reason I would have found out about that was through Twitter.
Yep.
I would never, because BBC never reported it until it became a story of people tweeting about it. Sky Songs launched, and that was memorable. The UK postal strikes led to much hate. Twitter real-time search deal was announced with Bing and Google soon after. Windows 7's launched.
Well, hey.
More importantly, Apple released new hardware. So we saw a fantastic new iMac.
Yeah.
Successful, wasn't it?
Which is, I think, is an amazing machine. You know, I've picked up my iMac. It's now over 3 years old, still chugging away. Jackie's got his, I guess. It's a couple of years old?
Yep.
And the new ones are just, you know, great. So they've had some graphical issues that we've talked about. An update came out yesterday which seemingly resolves those. It's all back on track. And you can now get a quad-core chip inside it, you know, so you're getting as good, if not better, performance than some of the Mac Pros.
Surprisingly, they're, like, quite cheap, relatively speaking, you know, with what you get.
By the time you go and price up and this will be somebody will be sitting there going, no, I can go to Dell, I can buy that for £400. Go and buy it, suck my whatever. I still think what you get, you know. And then it's also, it's holding their value. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, if I sold my iMac right now, how much I can get, and it's amazing. So, the other thing was the Magic Mouse, which I'm completely underwhelmed with, to be honest. I think Apple should just stop doing mice.
they really should.
Or buy Logitech. You know, do something different.
Yeah.
Or get someone that knows ergonomics rather than, you know. Oh.
Yeah, all this nonsense about, you know, we don't need buttons. You do. Nokia sued Apple. And then a couple of months later, Apple sued Nokia. Google Maps Navigator came out, which was quite disruptive. Free sat-nav, but as we've already said, cloud-based, and so has some issues for people. And Twitter List came out. November, Droid, so probably the biggest Android news of the year, and it certainly from a hardware point of view, was Droid coming out, or as it's known, as Milestone in Europe. Twitter added lists. I'm sure I just said that. iPhone sold by Orange, I'm sure I just said that. Sky Player hit the 360, but Chris has added no iPlayer because he's bitter and twisted and small.
I am.
he's admitted it. Ideal. At the start of the show, he was saying 5'4" wasn't small, but I think he's now admitted it. The internet
that wasn't
40.
His height.
Internet turned 40, almost as old as Shaquille. iPlayer came on 3G. I can't believe you're older than the internet.
Oh, you
I've just realised that. iPlayer on Wii. There was a... Oh, there's a whole lot of eBay Skype nonsense, which I can't be bothered with. App Store hit 100,000 apps. Murdoch threatened to block Google. And just go and do it. Honestly, go and do it. Bing Maps finally came to the UK and we're all impressed. Apple's won its case against SiteStar, and I think SiteStar's kind of gone, but not really, and they're still doing some shady stuff, and who knows. Microsoft banned hundreds of thousands of gamers from its live network for modern consoles. Nail it. Chrome OS got announced. It's still a year away. And I guess that's probably the most, I guess, exciting thing coming out from operating systems point of view.
Yeah, we also saw the first release of, you know, something you get your hands on as well, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. So you could download an image and boot it up on a PC and it boots in 9 seconds and you can log in and be on the internet, you know, amazingly quick. And News Corp talked with Bing about ties into excluded Google, which hopefully will never happen. And then on to December. Apple sued Nokia, I've already said it. So we saw, I guess, the power of social networks and a Facebook group and lots of Twittering from people managed to get Rage Against the Machine to number one. Way! We also saw Bye Bye Crunchpad and Hello Juju. I'm sure to be a top seller in Germany.
And Israel.
We also saw Bing steaming on. And just Chris mentioned it at that podcast at the time, the amount of development that Microsoft have done in this is immense. You know, to come from not having this at the start of the year to having that portfolio of functionality.
It wasn't
online.
Even the start of the year, was it? It was May.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's quarter way through the year.
Yep. It's phenomenal. Google Public DNS got launched. Apple buys Lala.
Have another sip of Iron Brew.
Well, all I was going to say is hopefully we'll end up with an iTunes that does something better. Google Chrome browser eventually came to Mac, and extensions came for the Windows users. And just towards the end of the year, Google Phone was confirmed, the Nexus One. And that's it. That was the year.
Fantastic. The year that was.
It was too.
That was the year that was.
So, a couple of things stands out for me there. One was Google Wave. Never have I seen so much hype about a bit of software.
About nothing.
And I guess much like Spotify, you know, it was restricted beta invites for sale on eBay. Some of them are ridiculous prices. People going gaga for it. Chris, you were the first amongst us to probably get on Google Wave, and you very kindly pinged us all some invites.
Yeah, but nothing much happened beyond that, did it? We nope. Had a couple of days where we logged in a couple of times and used it a bit. I mean, is Wave going to be the kind of Twitter thing where it's not until that bit of software's there that you suddenly find uses for it? Or do you just think it's software beyond use? You know, there's nothing really that we're going to use it for.
It's got use. It's got specific use cases, you know, where, you know, if we were wanting to have a chat about something just now, I can see it being useful, but
But then we can just easily discuss that on Skype, you know? Like,
so I just, for me, it's almost like a bit of software that yes, it's getting hyped, and my gut feel is Google wouldn't be hyping it as much if they didn't believe this was going to be maybe at the source of a lot of their, you know, future products.
Yeah.
You know, so there's been some screenshots of Gmail and Google Calendar, and they've been almost reskinned to more look like Google Wave.
Well, I mean, there's no easy way to describe what Google Wave is, but it is email plus, isn't it? Email plus live messaging at the same time, basically.
Yeah, but it's email. See if there's only two or three people using it. It makes sense, but see if you go into one of the public chat rooms or public waves and you try and follow the conversation, it's impossible.
I'm wondering whether at a corporate level there might be sort of scope for having projects, waves and things like that, which show the development. But even then, I think, say, the noise is just going to make it very complicated.
You'd have to break it down into, like, team level, wouldn't you? Mm. Like, certain teams have their own separate wave that they start.
And probably have pretty defined rules about what people can and can't do inside the wave, so that's, you know.
I mean, corporately, I couldn't see us using it too much. I don't know, Henry, would you be?
No.
Your firm ever? I just can't see it.
No.
You know, it's just, you know, even trying to get adoption sometimes of things like wikis. You know, as soon as you suggest a wiki, it's like, yeah, how do I put control around it? It's not a wiki then. You know, and it's just a lot of these things, it can sometimes be really hard to get, you know, traction. And I don't know, it's a bit of a damp squib so far.
Definitely.
In fact, the best thing to come out of it was when Paul threw up our new theme tune on it, and my first listen. We were sitting on Xbox Live and he went, oh, I've thrown it up in Google Wave. And I was like, oh, fantastic. And it's never been the same since. So we also saw Windows 7 launching. Henry's already had that as his tech pick of the year.
Yep.
I think we'd all agree that, you know, compared to Vista, it's pretty fantastic.
For me, good job. Done. You know, they did it. Other than the advertising, they did a good job.
Good job, Mr. Balmer. Good job.
Despite the advertising.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So I think they. It's one of those things where. Oh crikey! What was my point? It was going to be very important. Clearly, I think a mature Vista bit of a mature Vista computer was actually pretty stable, and pretty much like. Well, there's many similarities to Windows 7. Early Vista, obviously, it was a massive pain for them, but they've got through that, and Windows 7 is then building on top of that, and it is a great product.
You know, no, definitely,
I've had no problems with it. It just works, and that's exactly what you want out of an operating system.
The thing for me that's made the big difference is they've actually trying to do something different with their how to navigate within Windows. And you know, actually it looks like they've thought about how to make this better, whereas Vista never looked like that. Vista just looked like, here's how to make XP secure, and we're just going to basically hack everybody off.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you need some new hardware. And by the way, there's an awful lot of drivers that we're going to have problems with.
Yeah, I mean, but without Vista there, I think Windows 7 would have faced exactly the same problems.
No, I think Vista took that buffering. They're publicly admitting that now that they had to do that. You know, Vista was the pain that you then get out the other end. And I guess our final sort of take in the year is just the development we've seen over the last 12 months between Microsoft, Google, Apple. You know, if you look where Bing's, I can't say Bing tonight. If you look where Bing's got to, if you look at all the Google products that they're launching, it's just crazy. It's almost just like we're going to have something for everybody.
Where we've seen very little movement in the hardware releases this year.
Mm.
We've seen some massive, massive moves in software.
Definitely.
Whether it be the sort of services that have appeared over the year and just, you know, we've become used, you know, reliant on Twitters and Spotify's and whatever. But also the searches. So from where Google looked like it was an impregnable place, you know, they couldn't be beaten, Microsoft had come along and said, you know, we've got enough resources here to attack you pretty quickly. And they've gone from nothing to offering a suite which, you know, aligns itself very well with, all Google's best products.
Yeah. The crazy thing for me is, like, and I guess I put it in terms of things that I can now go and do. You know, so I look at what we do with the podcast, you know, and how we're using Dropbox and it shares all really quickly, and how we use Google Docs to share all our notes. And even, you know, if we wanted to start doing some video, I can put up some HD video on YouTube, and it's all for free. And it just doesn't cost.
Yeah. And we use Skype all the time as well.
Using Skype all the time. It's just, if you look at I think it's been talked about for 5-10 years about cloud computing and what, you know, there's going to be a revolution and, you know, software, you know, or you basically your apps in the sky. I think it's now starting to become tangible. It's now starting to become more and more of a, you know, my life is in the browser. It's less and less app based.
It's yet to be seen whether we're going to have a bit of a backlash from this. You know, where we saw earlier in the year the problem with T-Mobile's data on one of their products that was sat in the cloud and almost got lost.
Yeah.
So whether there'll be that kind of backlash where people are worried about how secure their data is, I don't know. It's yet to be seen. But in general, it should actually be safer than on our local hard drives. You know.
Yeah, and I think it just takes like one thing to go wrong on them, but as far as cloud computing goes, for then the trend to sort of suddenly shift and people say, right, we're going to go back and we're going to have, like, you know, not have as much data online and visible.
You assess your risk,
don't
you?
Prone to hacks. Yeah. And, you know, it's like things just change, don't they? Sometimes you can keep going in one direction and then all it needs is like one small accident to happen and then people just, you know, change their opinions. And then you move back. I'm trying to think of an analogy because something like that has happened before.
Well, and, it was Twitter, wasn't it, that got really burnt with using a lot of Google Docs and stuff, and it being attacked, Someone got in and got all their sensitive corporate data. Because it's, if you've got, certainly if you're using things corporately and you're sharing a lot of things corporately, then really your security is only as good as the weakest password of any one of your users, which is quite serious, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely.
And all this relies on us having really fast broadband, and what happens if that connection goes and fails? At the moment, at least there's something you can do on your computer, whereas cloud-based, obviously, that will just be... there'll be nothing that you can do.
Nothing.
So I guess there's something to be looked at there as well. But the direction is definitely there.
So you mentioned fail. Let's go through our failures of the year. Henry, why don't you open up for us?
Well, my epic fail of the year is the Digital Britain interim report out in January. Final report came out, and now they're proposing legislation. Just really seemed to be not just in the pockets of the entertainment industry, but just really a missed opportunity. The disconnecting file sharers for the three strikes rule, and putting a broadband tax, and they didn't even mention things like internet radio when they're talking about the future of radio. All this stuff about DAB, which to me seems to be kind of dead and buried. And just shows really how out of touch and things were. And as I say, I think it's a real missed opportunity from where they could really push us forward as in the UK here digitally. But they don't seem to be doing that at all. So very disappointed.
Certainly the bits that got reported were all about how it was going to criminalise people on the internet and how it was going to take things away, make things harder to use. Rather than the opposite way, rather than making things easier. And I guess there was some other stuff in there that didn't get reported as heavily because it wasn't so contentious. But it wasn't still, well, it's still festering. I think we're still going to hear a lot more of that in the new year.
Yep, I'm sure we will.
Chris, your failure.
For me, and I'm bracing myself here, I'm holding on tight. I thought Apple's September conference was... I just very disappointing. I think that, again, maybe it was just all the hype that came beforehand. Maybe it was the build up, but when they actually announced the bits and bobs that they announced at the conference, it just seemed
bits
like there was no
bobs.
Point. Yeah, well, it was bits and bobs, wasn't it? There was nothing big. It felt like they had lined up quite a few things to announce, but they just hadn't come off. Whether it be new cameras in. Different devices and the iPod Touch and things like that that just never happened for one reason or other. Maybe it's hardware problems, but the whole event just seemed for me to fall flat, was pointless, and it actually didn't need an event at all. There you go. That was my fail of the year.
Shaquille, your fail of the year.
My fail of the year. I feel a bit guilty about this because it's really a fail, but I think from my own personal point of view, I was kind of disappointed with the iPhone 3GS, mainly because I think, same as like what Chris said about the Apple conference, maybe it was like the hype, community hype and building up expectations. I expected a bit more from it because in November there were like rumors about, it's going to have like an OLED screen, it's going to have more memory, it's going to have a better camera, etc. And I know it had a better camera, but it wasn't like what's available on other camera phones out there. And you could argue you don't really need more megapixels, but it would have been nice to have a better camera. And other than the camera, I think the only thing that it had was better hardware, but it was a digital compass, was like a standout feature, which for me personally, I think it's a nice little touch. But whereas before, when the 3G phone came out, you had 3G, and that, which was, like a big deal. It was almost like a necessity. The digital compass, I felt, it's not like something that, people have got to have. And...
Hey, I'm sorry. Well, am I on the wrong podcast here? This is Shaq knocking.
Well, that's
Apple
what I'm
product.
Saying. I feel kind of bad about it because I just felt like I had to pick a failure, and the only thing I can think of that I was slightly disappointed was the 3GS. And it sounds crazy because I would have still maybe, if somebody gave it to me, I would have probably said, yeah, I'll take it over my 3G phone, but
I wish I had
you know, a bit more to it.
No, you're probably right. And the hype before it was massive, and it just didn't live up to it at all.
And I think it's going to be the same with the next version as well. It's just going to be like, there'll be a few little upgrades, but it's not going to be whatever people expect from it.
But surely
it's the hype that's the fail there, not the product itself. Surely you can't blame a product for actually being what
gone, Henry.
You can't blame a product for being what it is when it was all overhyped. And it's like saying the epic fail of the year is that, well, I don't know what Ian's is going to be, but it was like saying it's the Apple tablet because it didn't appear. I mean,
oh no, you've taken my feel. Oh no,
I totally agree with you. But I had to pick something, that's my feel.
The new iMacs were released, they came with a new form factor. They came with a bigger screen. There was more of everything in them. Whereas the phone, on the surface of it, looked identical and felt identical. I mean, even if they'd come out with a bigger screen or done a lot more with the camera rather than just a slightly upgraded hardware. So something to just give you a little bit of a bite on.
A bigger screen on a phone is going to make the thing too big and bulky to keep in your pocket anyway.
But even just using the same form factor but actually filling more of it with the screen. You know, the Droid and stuff has got a bigger screen on it and everyone raves over the fact they've got a bit more space. And more pixels. I don't know, something like that.
I'm just going to sulk, I'm afraid. I just think that's just terrible.
I do feel let down. So my
people tune into this podcast to hear Shaq rave about Apple products. You're disappointing your listening public.
How do you think Tam's going to feel right now? You've turned them to Mac and now you're slagging it off.
Well, I was thinking the whole thing has been a bit one sided with Chris on one side and us three on the other. So I thought I'll maybe tip the balance a little bit.
So my feel of the year was going to be the tablet.
Well, you see, you didn't put it in the notes, did you?
No. So I have multiple failures this year.
Oh, you did say that.
So sorry, I'll do them quickly. Location blocks are really starting to annoy me. So things like Pandora and Hulu and not being able to access them just annoys me. Yeah. And all the kind of Amazon stuff that comes out and the apps that come out in America and not here. Annoying. Games hardware, and I guess the games industry in general, I've thought it's a very poor year. So even the hardware, the PS3 Slim, nice. PS3 Go, what a waste of time. Not the PS3, the PSP Go, waste of time.
Yep.
And even the stuff around, when I look at the ones coming out for PS3 and I look at Natal, there's now a whole lot of rumours about Natal having lag and it's okay and the ones are going to be the future, and it's like, I don't want to sit there and have dancing hands when I'm playing games. So I just feel a bit let down. And I guess my third one is batteries. So I've just now got to a point where I'm just fed up of constantly charging. I've got a phone that does everything, and the battery, the battery tech hasn't kept up with how the hardware is progressing and what people's needs and wants are.
That's very true.
So I just find that there needs to be almost like a, I don't know, some sort of leap in technology. Someday, one of these smart scientists out there has got to go and figure out a way of, I want to get back to a day of having a Nokia that I charge once a week, that I can still do all my stuff on.
If they can get better batteries, then they could at least, like these power mats that you get, but have them available in public places. So if you're somewhere, you just put your phone down and it charges, while you have a pint of beer or something with your mates in the pub.
Yep. But my biggest tech fail of the year was Steve Jobs lover. And
lover.
I'm just
liver
glad he's
or
got
lover. What did you say?
I said lover. Okay. Still not very clear. His liver. And at least he's got a new one. So I'm quite happy about that.
Is that was that from his lover?
Some poor very guy's good. Died somewhere in Europe. Anyway. Moving on. We've now got the failures out the way. And we're on to predictions. Who wants to go first? Will I go first?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So again, I'll rattle through them quickly because I can't shut up. Tablet industry will start to take off and Apple will be the leader in it. And it will be expensive, but it'll be the tablet everybody wants. There will be a new iPhone. It probably will have video calling. I do think they have to actually do something with the hardware this time. I think the screen's got to be improved. But the one thing I think would make the biggest difference is background apps. You know, let me run apps in the background, please. Now, if I jailbreak my phone right now, I can do it. So if I jailbreak my phone, I've got the hardware, and yes, battery life will start to suck and it's even more, and that's my biggest fail. But at the same time, give me the choice. Spotify starts to fail when I can't run it in the background. I'm listening to some music, and somebody calls, you know, it doesn't resume nicely. I've got to launch the app again. You know, if I want to go and do something on the web, oh, I can't. And that's where the iTunes app wins all the time. I think we'll also see loads of... I just think the smartphone thing is the I guess it's the gadget of the year. It's just phones and how much now people are using smartphones. So I think there'll be a lot of competition next year. I can't wait to see the software that comes out from Google and Microsoft and, I guess, Apple over the next 12 months. It's just the competition's massive now and we're all benefiting. Chrome OS, I'm not convinced it'll be a massive success. I just don't know if the market's ready for it. I'd like to see more augmented reality rather than it being a gimmick. I'd like to actually see something that takes advantage of it properly. And I don't know if this will be next year, but 3D for TVs, and because we've talked about the World Cup, I think it's going to be talked a lot about, but I can't really see it taking off. I do think it's things like Project Canvas and having your set-top boxes with internet connections and TVs with internet connections and having these little, you know, Yahoo apps or Flickr apps so you can go and get your content directly on your TV. I think that's going to start to be a big thing.
I agree.
That's it?
No, cool. I agree with, I think, everything there. For me, I think 3D is going to be bigger than we all think we've talked about in the past, but it's definitely not going to be the thing the industry is looking for and hoping it's going to be as, you know, they're not going to make their money out of it that they think they're going to make. I think by the end of the year, we're going to see three alternatives for the iPhone. I'm not sure where two of them are coming from, but I think Microsoft is going to get their act together by the end of next year, and we're going to see Android as a fully developed platform. I think we're going to see some pretty harsh times for hardware, especially gadgets, because I don't think the recession is anywhere near over. You know, in fact, I think people have pretty much used up their reserves at the end of this year, and I think next year actually it's going to start hitting people in the street really hard. So I think it's going to be a hard year for tech companies in general. I think we are going to see the tablet. Not 100% convinced of that, but I think we are going to see it. But I do think that it's going to be hugely priced. I think there's going to be alternatives out there that will do a similar job. Whether they can invent a market enough to make it worth it, I don't know. Chrome OS, I think we're going to see Chrome OS launch more Juju type devices, but actually at sensible prices. I mean, we're already hearing about devices coming out maybe for $300 that do a similar thing to the Juju and $300 and less. And I think, again, with everything moving to cloud computing, I think we're going to see that take off. And I do see that market growing. I think someone next year might find a need for Wave, but that's only a probably for me because I'm still not sure. And we're going to have a new government, but I'm not sure that's going to be a positive thing. I think they might even be more in bed with the entertainment industry, and they have potential to cripple the internet even more. But let's see. My prediction's over.
Mm. Well,
Henry,
I just think it's going to be a huge year for Microsoft next year. Windows 7 is really starting to take off, but particularly next year with business adoption. And I think with Bing, they're gonna pay out some really quite big money to get some exclusive content away from Google, and that's not just the News Corp stuff. I think they're gonna do some deals with other people and really kind of shake things up there. And if they can get their act together with Windows Mobile, then I'm still not convinced about that, but it's possible that they could bring out a smartphone that's competitive with iPhone. I think the other big thing is definitely the businesses getting into apps for smartphones, and yes, your little kind of web-based applications. What we've seen at the moment, particularly on the iPhone so far, is mainly consumer-based apps. And I think the next year, 2010, is when businesses are going to really get into that to kind of promote their products and in ways that's a bit different to what we've seen so far.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And rounding us off, Shaquille.
Mine's going to be a mixture of predictions and expectations, I guess. Predictions and expectations. And first of all, I think someone might have already mentioned this. I think mobile usage is going to grow even more next year as more and more people discover and become familiar with their mobile devices, especially smartphones with their apps. Not necessarily just iPhone apps, I'm talking about like Nokia apps and Microsoft apps. That market is just going to explode next year, even though it has already this year. So that's one thing, and I think the next versions of the iPhones we will see, I believe, should have 64 gigabyte capacities, and that's based on Toshiba this month announcing that beginning of January they are going to be producing 64 gigabyte chips for NAND RAM or memory, which is what Apple tend to use for their iPhones. The iPhone itself, I mean, I can't really make any predictions, but my expectations would be that, like Ian already said, there should be some sort of like hardware upgrade inside the model itself. Maybe the screen will, whether it increase the actual physical size of the screen or not, I expect that with other devices out there with the higher resolutions, they might improve the resolution of the existing screen. Personally, I wouldn't want to see the physical size of the device itself to become any bigger, because I think it's just perfect the way it is. I would prefer to see a better camera than the one that's already there. Whether that makes a big difference to the quality or not, I think just to keep up with the market and more for the sort of like the mindset of the public, you know, just to say, yes, we have a decent enough camera in there, I think they should really add that in there. And I think it's about time we get video chat, which has been long rumoured in previous iterations of the iPhone, and we haven't seen it so far.
I don't want to see your ugly mug.
And obviously for video chat, they'll need to add like another camera on the screen as well. So that's that. My other prediction, I think we will definitely see an OLED screen. Or when I say screen, an OLED TV at some point next year. Whether it's towards the last half of the year, I can't say, but we should definitely see at least one affordable model appear on the market. 3D TV, again, I'm very dubious about that, but we already know that Samsung have made an announcement that they tend to sell or have on the market an X number of models next year. So I guess we will see them, but whether they're going to be affordable, I very much doubt it. I think only the sort of like the enthusiasts will be buying these TVs.
So you'll be buying one then?
No. I mean, yeah, I think I personally not really that excited about 3D, and mostly to do with the glasses. I think that if you can have a screen where you don't need glasses and you can get a good experience from any sitting at any angle, then yes, there's a huge chance that it can succeed. But if you have to wear glasses, it's going to put a lot of people off. It's all right for, you know, the odd occasion, but would you actually spend that much money on a brand new TV just you know, for that odd occasion to watch a blockbuster in 3D. I don't know. Other than that, I think we will definitely see an Apple tablet. And this is not me just being a fanboy. I think Apple will produce something that will basically convince people that, you know, like, yes, they need to buy an Apple tablet. I don't know what it will be. I think it's going to be a really good way of consuming media. I mean, if I could sort of, like, you know, like, have my way, I would think, like, it'd be a device that you, you know, leave connected to the internet or, you know, over Wi-Fi, and then you wake up in the morning and it's automatically downloaded all the, you know, the latest news from overnight onto your device for you to, like, view right there and then, instead of you having to go and, you know, like, find it yourself. But I could be wrong, but what they did with the MP3s, I think that they can potentially do that with the books and magazines and news articles. No idea how they're going to go about doing it, but I think Apple tablet will be successful. Maybe not, you know, it won't convince everybody immediately, but I think it will catch on. And yeah, soon everybody will want to buy one, even Chris.
There's a good chance.
Drip.
I think that's that. For me.
And that's it. That's our predictions done. And that's the end of part two. Our longest recording ever. Can't wait to edit this tomorrow. So if you
enjoy,
if you want to find out more about us, you'll find our website at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter, Digital Outbox, and surprise, surprise, we're on Skype with the name Digital Outbox. If you're wanting to find out more about me, my blog is END.net, and I'm on Twitter as Shweeper. Henry.
Yeah, I'm at talkrhubarb.com/WordPress. I'm talkrhubarb on Twitter, and you might even be able to find me on Facebook. Although my father has the same name as me, which is a bit...
so that could be interesting.
It could be very interesting.
Shaquille.
My blog is at shaquillenaim.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at shaqen.
And Bill.
And Bill?
Yeah.
Gates.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk. And I'd just like to say my latest post in the blog is about UK drivers not dipping their blooming headlights at night time. Dip your flipping headlights, and in stronger terms than that as well. If you can see me before you've dipped them, then you've already, you're feeling my wrath.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you had the cushion under you, you might be able to see you, but you probably just think, who's that?
Meow. Ghost car.
Seriously, sort it out, UK drivers.
Well, drivers round the world, because obviously we're a worldwide podcast.
I don't care about everyone else, just care about me.
And just people in your area as well.
And wherever I travel, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, Ian, where can we find out about you?
Other people pay their road tax too, Chris, you know.
Well, they're more than welcome to pay that. But don't blind me.
Okay. And I think we're done.
We don't know where we can find you. You haven't
I've done that bit already.
You did that bit.
Did you?
You weren't listening.
I wasn't listening. Look, this is we're up to 2 hours of recording now. And really, I've been flagging for a little bit because I almost had a beer.
And I know exactly when you've been flagging, because your little green line doesn't bounce on my screen. It's just like he's asleep.
I never got to asleep, nearly.
So I'd just like to say, whoever manages to get to the end of this second part, you've bloody done well. And thanks for tuning in. We shall return in the new year. Probably.
Yeah, we'll return in
the new year.
Bye now. Bye
bye. Bye.
Do you know we could have watched the Titanic?
We could have watched Lord of the Rings, the extended edition.
All three films.
All three of them.
Yeah. And we could have seen Chris as one of the little hobbits.
I do feel like our predictions sort of slightly suffered from our tiredness then.
I think we should re-record
that. Exciting section it could have been.
I just rambled on and nobody interrupted or said anything.
Let's get through this. Let's get it done.
I just harked back to, I don't think we should read all these headlines out. Anyway.
I don't think it was a headline, so.
Oh,
was
it was.
Well, it was fine, except the ones that we couldn't. I didn't know what I was talking about.
We would never have known.
I'm trying to remember the one I did. It was like, what? What is that?
What was that?
Oh, yeah. MSRP Essentials. What the hell's that?
I actually deleted one of your thingies as you were talking because it was under November and it was also under December. So I deleted the December one while you mentioned the other
one. It disappear and I'm thinking, what are you swines editing my stuff just as I'm about to speak?